There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball. Go!
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Game Day Eve. This is Dan.
Oh, this is Harrison.
Harrison is filling in for Nick today. Corey may join us towards the end of the program, and Jordan should be joining us any minute now. So we've got Harrison filling in. Nick is on an airplane to probably Houston right now, and he'll make his trip over to College Station. But if you don't know Harrison, introduce yourself to the Stadium and Gale audience.
What's up, everyone? My name's Harrison Tenzer. I've been on here, I think, once or twice before. Did a couple content things with some players a couple years ago. Just recently graduated from University of Florida, and I'm filling in for Nick today. So.
Man, we're happy to have you. You've grown up in front of our eyes. I think we were probably too young for us to say when we first kind of acquainted. but now that you're of legal age, we can say we've known Harrison for a much longer time than I've known most people his age. But it's good to have Harrison on the show. I'll never forget the night at White Buffalo a few years ago where we tore the place down and then we got kicked out for some TikTok influence. We're like, who is this guy? And then we saw him. We're like, we don't want to be here anyway.
Yeah, that was the night before Bama. That was a night. Yeah, that was fun.
Big nasty Drew. Why does Nick always make jokes about Harrison being rich? That is a different Harrison Sanchez, not Harrison Tenzer. Harrison Sanchez lives in Vail and is wealthy. He's probably listening to Game Day Eve right now from his private jet. Army Sniper Mike, it's good to see you. But before we get into the show today, we're going to talk a little with Texas A&M. We're going to talk a little bit about Florida. They had an announcement in the athletic department today that we'll go over, and then we will go over our traditional over-under. But as always, this show is sponsored by the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, a group of former attorneys for the insurance companies that went after you have now switched to the other side. They're there to defend you. So if you have any issues with property damage, wind, hail, hurricane, tropical storm, whatever it might be, even some personal injury, the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group is the place to go. You can reach them at 727-258-0043 or dykusburkelaw.com. Again, this is the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. Anything that you might need for anything property related, those are going to be the guys that you want to reach out to. So again, Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, you can reach them at 727-258-0043. All right, Harrison, since we have you, this is an open mic. Jordan just arrived. Jordan, it's good to see you, brother. Oh man, your mic, turn up your mic there, Jordan. We missed you. Harrison, give us your thoughts on the football program right now.
Well, obviously it's not all sunshine and rainbows. I think we can all agree on that. I mean, I think this weekend for Billy Napier is a must win. For some other people who are fans of the football program, I don't know if they would consider this a must win. I think some people are looking at this game as a win-win, which is kind of sad. And I feel like we've been doing this for a year now, so that kind of sucks. But I mean, winning Texas in the Swamp, it's always good to win a big game in the Swamp. I'm never going to complain about that, especially since I live in Austin. So that one did mean a little bit more, but this we've said it all year long. This is a really good team. I mean, I know we're sitting here 2-3, but you know, should beat USF, hung in there with Miami and had a chance to take the lead in the fourth quarter. And we were in it in the fourth quarter, LSU. I mean, this team can win every single game that is left on their schedule. They are as talented, if not more talented, than every single team that they will play from now until the end of the year. And, you know, you could make an argument Georgia has more talent, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but they haven't looked like the Georgia of years past. So it's time to win. I mean, everyone said this is a 9 or 10 win team with a playoff berth. That should probably be the expectation for year four. I mean, you got Dallas Wilson back, who looked every bit as advertised and then some. Vernell Brown has looked every bit as advertised and then some. It seems Lagway's getting healthy. So, I mean, he looked much better post bye week, and whatever happened over the bye week, he looked good against Texas. So I hope it translates to a better performance on the road than we've seen under this staff. But at the end of the day, it's put up or shut up time. That's really what it is for this week.
Absolutely. Jorn, man, it's good to have you. We're going to get into the game a little bit here. But before we do that, it's probably pertinent to announce that Chip Howard, who is the Deputy Athletic Director for the University of Florida, also a Stadium and Gale alum, is going to retire effective January 1, 2026. He's been at the University of Florida since the late 1980s. So we appreciate, and I know that he doesn't necessarily always have the best reputation amongst fans, but at the end of the day, you know, Chip served the university proudly and did some good things during his time. So he is going to be moving on. Florida will likely be looking for a replacement there. And I know that they're making a number of other changes in the athletic department. And you've seen that with the departure of Linda Teeler, Jamie McCluskey, Melissa Stuckey, and now Chip Howard. I know Florida has a couple of other big hires that are on the horizon, as well as the announcement of a new chief commercial officer. So, again, we're not going to dive into the good, the bad, and the ugly about the athletic department on this show. But at the end of the day, you know, thank Chip Howard for his time at the University of Florida. Certainly, any time that you can spend, you know, nearly 40 years at a program after 35 years, I guess, it's always worth giving him his flowers for his contribution. So, that announcement rolled out earlier today, and we are going to see probably some additional changes in the athletic department in the not too distant future. To get into Texas A&M. All right, guys. So we have a 7 o'clock kickoff Eastern time tomorrow. That'll be 6 p.m. local at Kyle Field in College Station. You can check that game on ESPN. Right now, the Aggies are favored by 7.5, 8.5, depending on where you look at that, over under 47.5 money line. UF plus 240, Texas A&M minus 280 to 300, depending on where you look. Texas A&M is 5-0 and looking to go for their first 6-0 start since 2016. And then Florida is obviously 2-3 coming off a win over number 9 Texas. Just a couple more pieces here, guys. DJ Lagway, Damian George, and Bryce Thornton, who is a Damian George is from Texas, from the Houston area. So those three guys will be the captains for this game. Guys, from a high level, what are your thoughts on this game? Jordan, we'll start with you, brother.
I think, like I mentioned on the show on Monday, man, I honestly feel like everything is coming together for us. I feel like we had a slow start similar to last year, but this time it was just due to our quarterback not being able to get a lot of reps in. So he was kind of getting his training camp and offseason reps week one, week two, week three. And that was really rough for us to watch as Gator fans. So I honestly think we'll turn a new leaf here. I think we should see some new improvements in the offense just with Lagway being more comfortable. And let's just call a spade. I honestly think it was the offense holding this team back as far as winning football games. So I think if the offense can come along, defense will continue to play lights out, and that'll be complimentary football, and special teams will eventually come and make a play like they always have been doing, whether it's a block punt, punt return, kick return, onside kick, whatever special teams will cause. I feel like when offense and defense is playing well, special teams can just follow along and kind of complement the rest of it. So I got high hopes for us, man. I'm not losing faith in the Gators just yet. I almost did. Give me week two, week three. If you rewind me back, I was struggling, growing gray hairs. But, man, they gave me a lot of hope last week, just watching the way we were able to execute and establish the run game against Texas. I don't see Texas A&M being that much more physical than Texas was. So for us to not be able to go and run the ball against them as well, I don't see why we can't. So I have high hopes in that regard, and I feel like that will take a lot of the pressure off of Lagway and let him kind of slowly open up and drive the ball downfield when we need him to, and work off a play-action pass versus trying to work off of bubble screens and third and longs. Well, now they know we're passing.
Absolutely. Harrison, you think Sunbelt Billy and the boys can do it?
Oh, God. I didn't say that, but look.
Jacob LaFrance said it, not me, brother. I'm just quoting him.
No mean podcast. That's like fired off. But look, honestly, the big thing for me is against Texas, the offensive line looked better than it did against LSU and Miami. And we've said this for 3.5 years now. The operation this offense has on the road is not even remotely close to the same as it is at home. I mean, so the offensive line is going to have to be better than it was in against LSU and Miami for this team to succeed. I mean, Jaden Baugh is going to probably, he ran, I think, 27 times against Texas. I think he's going to have to run it probably 20 to 25 times, especially due to the fact that Jacoby Jackson's questionable. Duke Clark is, I believe he's out. And yeah, the other one is, I'm excited to watch KD. I thought KD could have been running back too, but maybe I'm missing something there. Jordan, I don't really know how you feel about that, but I mean, other than that, it's Byron Lewis. So, I mean, I think you're going to see Jaden get a lot of carries early, and I think the offensive line is going to have its hands full. I mean, Cassius Howell leads the SEC in sacks with 7 through 5 games. So that's something – that's a big edge presence off the edge. And, I mean, they're going to have to run the ball instead of the sticks, because if they get third and long on the road, they're in for a long day. I mean, Texas A&M made Auburn's life and Jackson Arnold's life a living hell. Auburn was living in third and long, and I believe he got sacked at least 6 times. So, I mean, our offensive line is better than Auburn's, but it's not a great recipe for success to be in behind the sticks with offense this week.
I want to ask you guys a couple different questions. Jordan, this one specifically for you, no offense, Harrison. What is the difference in terms of a mentality playing in an away game? And I mean, Billy Napier has won 4 road games in his career at the University of Florida. None of those teams that he beat has finished a season with a winning record. What's the difference mentality-wise, and why do you think Billy Napier's teams have struggled so much on the road?
I think first and foremost, just from looking at it from a coach's perspective, I feel like they need to take the travel day seriously. You know, from it starts from the walkthrough before in the hotel, to where those need to be taken seriously. Everybody needs to be dialed in and locked into what's going on. It shouldn't sound silly to say, but it shouldn't be any talking and small talk going on while we're going through walkthroughs and reviewing our plays, even though you know what we were running and we've been running it all week, repping it all week. I think it just starts from there. The mindset and taking it as a business trip, that can kind of get you leading in the right direction on an away game, as well as just start fast. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, being in an away game, you're probably playing against the refs, playing against the stadium. That's a really loud stadium there as well. So being able to establish some type of success early will definitely get you in a good position. I feel like that'll be the key to kind of helping us out in this one, being able to start fast and strike first. So I think that's some of the keys right there, man. Being able to take it seriously from the night before, because a lot of people take trips. It's like, oh, we got a little free time, we can go out, you know. Yeah. You're not really locked into the task at hand, and sometimes that carries over into game day. A lot of people think they can just turn on a switch, and it's not necessarily like that every time for every person. But I think just taking it serious from the night before and preparing your body to wake up and go play a game that day and starting fast, man, I feel like that's the key to it.
Frank, that's a funny comment about searching their names. We're not going to talk about it on this show because I don't need to create more enemies in the staff. So the three things that I think we saw differently in this game, obviously the defense has continuously played well all season. Despite the 2-3 record, the defense has been what's carried this team. I think what you saw in the game against Texas was the offensive line playing a lot better against a very good defensive line unit from Texas. Jaden Ball got the ball. His second game this season with over 100 yards rushing, carried the ball 27 times, which if you were to take any two games and combine any of those, he would have only if you combine the USF and the Miami game combined, that was 30. Other than that, Jaden Ball was averaging, I don't know, about 12, 13 carries a game. Obviously, he had some injuries. This is going to probably be the first game since LIU that we see KD Daniels, which to me is a little bit of a surprise. Like, I thought he had a good game against Tulane. I thought, you know, Jacoby Jackson was your clear number two. And then I was a bit surprised to see Duke Clark pass him. I know he's better at catching the ball. What do you guys expect out of the run game against Texas A&M, who is right now? Let me look it up.
Yeah, I was surprised with KD Daniel as well, man. I felt like he kind of ended off the year really strong, and maybe he just didn't have a good training camp. You know what happened? I feel like Duke Clark was having he was being represented well on special teams. I seen him having him on kick return and stuff like that. So maybe he was putting in a lot of hard work in teams, which kind of earned him that backup role once Jack got hurt.
Texas A&M right now, the number 32 overall rush defense. Sorry, Harrison, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was more surprised that even when Jacoby got hurt, we didn't even see him get even a chance to be running back two. They just went straight to Duke. I was like, wow, okay, that's weird, because everyone I've talked to has said he probably has the best top-end speed in that whole room. And he was I think everyone was kind of hoping that, you know, Ball would be the every down back, the three down back, and KD would be the change of pace guy who's probably your home run threat. So I thought that's what we were going to get. I mean, obviously Jacoby was going to be the number two, but I was surprised that we might only get it because of injury and by force, which sometimes with the personnel decisions has not been a bad thing. So I hope he can make the most of his opportunity this weekend.
Yeah. I think the biggest and most surprising thing to me, other than the Gators' record right now, is the fact that they're 100th in college football right now in rushing. They're averaging 130 yards a game, and let's keep it a bean. If you take out 200 yards against LIU, you're really averaging probably close to about 115 yards per game in your four FBS games. So, you know, I kind of expected a little bit better out of the group. I know you had an injury with Jacoby Jackson, and I know the offensive line, especially on the right-hand side, hasn't been what we thought they would be, but that's probably the biggest surprise to me. But I do want to bring up somebody else, and that was the X factor in this game, and that's Dallas Wilson. Obviously comes out, has a showing out party, six catches, I think 111 yards, two touchdowns, and maybe one of the most physical touchdowns they've had in quite some time. I'm trying to remember the last time somebody, you know, broke multiple tackles and carried somebody in to the end zone. Do you guys expect a game like that for Dallas? Or do you think that there might be a little bit more emphasis on trying to cover him, that it opens up some opportunities for some of the other guys?
Yeah, I honestly think if any defensive coordinator has a brain, it's no way you're leaving that kid one-on-one after watching what you just witnessed last week. So I would anticipate that. Yeah, they will have some type of game plan for him. Will it work? I'm not sure. My only hope and wish is that Lagway does not try to force it to him, because that's one thing I'm seeing improvements out of Lagway, but I do still see him throwing in a triple cover sometimes, which is like not needed. So I don't want to get into that world to where we know Dallas Wilson is that guy and he's just forcing it to him at this rate. We have other guys who are capable of getting a touchdown and making an explosive play. So if they're trying to take him out the game, we have other guys. Let's just utilize other people. But I would love to see Dallas Wilson have another crazy game, and I want him to be our Jeremiah Smith, if that makes sense.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Right. I mean, that's kind of been the thing that's been said on every national podcast, and every national media member has said this year. And I'm hoping we can, I'm not saying I'm hoping we can slow it down from a production standpoint, but it was only one game, one, but two, I mean, we knew the second he got here, him and Vernell were the two most talented wide receivers from a playing the position standpoint in the entire room. I mean, and I think so far through five games, they've proven that. But I mean, your three that you're probably going to start are Dallas, Vernell, and Aiden, depending on how healthy he is. He's clear to play. And, you know, J Mike's probably first off the bench, but I feel much more comfortable with those three and then any combination we had the first month. And I think Dallas really is a game changer. I just think you have to double at least one of him or Vernell, which it's pick your poison. I mean, whichever one you don't double is getting single coverage unless you're running too high, and then you can just run the ball. So it does unlock another level of our offense that we didn't really have the first three games. But so it should make Lagway's life a lot easier. We just have to figure out how to use it and keep getting the ball. I expect maybe not 6 for 112 and 2, but I expect another good game out of him. I mean, he did that fresh out of a boot, minimal practice, you know. When you're in a boot that long, you're not exactly in the best shape, and he's still doing that. I mean, I think he's in for a monster last seven games if he can stay healthy.
It'd be nice. Texas A&M averaging just about 190 yards in the air this season, 170 against UTSA, 172 against Utah State, 293 against Notre Dame in that 41-40 thriller there, 125 to Auburn, and 142 to Mississippi State last week in a 31-9 win. So, you know, certainly Lagway being able to have a game like he had against Texas A&M. I know that he was recognized nationally for his performance, or at least in the SEC, pardon me, for his performance last week. Looked more comfortable. The offense just seemed to run a little bit different last week. Now, I've known in 3.5 years of watching this team that momentum doesn't carry over week over week. Sometimes it doesn't even carry over day, you know, but I'm hopeful, you know, for this team that they finally figured something out, right? I think that you look at, you know, the team that they put on the field against Texas, who is still very good. And, you know, I know Arch Manning may not be the second coming of Peyton Manning, but the rest of the team that surrounded him was still pretty good. In Florida, you know, had the opportunity to put that game away a couple times. They didn't, but still, to be able to beat a Texas team like that, especially when the noise is loud, the noise was very loud. And I know that the players see it. I know that the coaches see it. And I know that the support staffers search for the noise. So, you know, I'm curious to see how they go. Texas A&M is a loud stadium. It's a weird place, but it's a loud stadium. They're gonna be excited. They're looking for a 6-0 start. They're looking to clinch bowl eligibility. And so, you know, with Billy Napier's record away and kind of the ups and downs of this season, as well as a Texas A&M team that I think is pretty good. I don't know if they're the fifth best team in the country, but that's what they are right now. And so I think it's a good matchup for the Gators. Certainly they're going to need to run the ball. They're going to need to continue to do what they did through the air. And then if they can, maybe we've seen some changes, right? Maybe that bye week was helpful. You have this game and then you have Mississippi State and then you go into another bye week to make your changes. But it would certainly be nice to go into that next bye week on a nice little 3-0 record there. So you have an opportunity now, and you can still turn the season around. What does that mean? I don't know, but we'll see. Shout out to Nick watching from the air. Nick, put it on the TVs of that Delta flight. Hook your TV into the aux cord and play it over the intercom. Defense. Oh, well, let's go over the injury report. This is as of Thursday. So I know that I know Aiden Mizell is playing in this game, and I know Joseph Mbachu is playing in this game. So the questionables that I believe are still there are Moise Tunkara, Jacoby Jackson, who I don't think is going to play, Devin Manuel, Rod Kearney, and Tony Livingston are still in your questionable category. Out is Treyon Webb, LJ McCray, Aaron Gates, Duke Clark, Dijon Johnson, and Caleb Banks. To Harrison, what is your biggest key to winning this game? Then we'll get into some over-unders.
To win the game, I think the big thing for me is they are probably the best team up front that we have faced from a balance standpoint. I mean, maybe along with Miami. So I think winning, or at least competing up front, is a big thing. On defense, you have to stop Mario Craver. He leads the SEC in receiving yards with 557 through five games. Kevin Concepcion is another wide receiver they got. That's really good from the portal. He's got over 400 yards and 5 touchdowns as well. So they have two really good guys that they key in the passing game. That they don't even really hide it. I mean, the third best wide receiver only has 100 yards. So it's really those two and then everyone else. We haven't really played a dual threat quarterback yet. So I think containing Reed, keeping him in the pocket, that's going to be a new challenge for our front. I think that's a big thing. And on offense, it's simple. You're going to have to run the ball. You're going to have to get 4 or 5 yards on first down, and you're going to have Vernell and Dallas make plays. I have no faith in making plays if the ball is going to Hayden Hansen or Tony Livingston. That's just the reality of it. So DJ Lagway is going to, and the wide receivers on offense are going to have to win this game in Kyle Field if they want to do it.
What about you, Jordan?
I kind of feel the same way. I think us being able to establish the run game early and often will be great for us. Just looking back at Texas A&M's schedule, I feel like a real similar game that they kind of won but got away from was Notre Dame. Notre Dame is, 2-3 right now? But I feel like if we were able to run the ball, how Notre Dame was able to run the ball on them, I think we'll be able to do that. And we got to limit turnovers. I feel like that's been killing us every game. We find a way to make a turnover, whether it's an interception or a fumble, whatever the case may be. But if we can find our ways to win the turnover margin and just do what we do best with running the football, I think we can have this game. I don't feel like it's far-fetched. So I would say ball security and establishing a run game.
Yeah, and, you know, Florida's had some difficulty, and we haven't really discussed this much, with containing dual-threat quarterbacks throughout the last, number of years. It wasn't just Billy Napier. It was even before that. Marcel Reed, I know, came out, against Florida last year when Texas A&M won that game. They had trouble with Mississippi State last year that had a dual-threat quarterback. Yeah. And there's just been a lot of issues that Florida's had in containing the dual-threat quarterback. Jordan, from your experience, obviously you played in the NFL. What's the best strategy for spying the quarterback and limiting? Now, Marcel Reed on the year has 149 rushes on 38 attempts, just about 4 yards, carry, 2 touchdowns. What is your strategy, do you think, for Florida to contain him?
I'll say just keeping a nice contain on him. It sounds crazy, but this is not the game where you really want to work your best pass rush to kind of get home. It's kind of mirroring him and kind of just stand disciplined in your lane and waiting for him to take off, because most likely quarterbacks who are mobile like that and are good on their feet aren't that good in the pass game and aren't able to pick you apart. So just kind of making him beat you with his arm and not your legs is kind of where you want to be at. You don't want to get into where three by one rush lanes are happening. What I mean by that is like one DN is on one side and your D-tech is almost, one technique, or you feel me, a 2-eye, to where has that one big lane to one side, because you have three guys rushing on one side and your DN rushing up the field on the other side. So he has that big pocket to kind of scrape out of, versus if everybody's even in their lanes, it's hard for him to kind of get out of there. Everybody can disengage and kind of make 2-yard gain, 1-yard gain. In that case, you don't even really have to spy as much, because you know the defense is kind of – the D-line is actively kind of trying to contain him and kind of mirror him and not really working crazy pass rush moves where to get out of the lane and give him a crease to go through. So I feel like I have confidence in our defense, man. They've rose to the occasion multiple times. USF, I wouldn't say he was a mobile quarterback-ish, but we kind of held him down for the most part. They didn't play their best game, obviously, but – I think our defense will be able to contain this guy and hold him down.
Love that, man. I love it. Well, let's get into some pick 'em before we wrap up the show today. Some other notes. Texas A&M is wearing their 50th anniversary jersey, which I guess is kind of cool if you care about that. 1975 throwback uniform. Say what?
50 years of the Colt?
Harris, you've been to Texas A&M. Jordan, did you ever go to Texas A&M?
No, I did not.
All right, I'm not going to be
slanderous. I heard it was a crazy stadium, though. I heard it was really loud.
But I'm not going to be slanderous on the show, because that's not the type of person that I am. My first job out of college is I worked with colleges and universities, so I had the chance to visit a lot of colleges. There is no school that I've been to, and I've been to, 100 and some odd schools now, that is more cult-like and just strange, and there's an eerie feeling. It's an old military college, so the campus isn't like super pretty. It looks very just militaristic. I'm pretty sure that when I was there on like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like 90% of the students like are just wearing Texas A&M stuff all the time. Like in Gainesville, right? People are wearing UF stuff, but they also know that there's like other stores at the mall that you can go to. Like it just really feels like a cult. They have the class ring. They've got like a statue of the class. I don't know. There's something weird about it. So I don't think I'll make it back to College Station in the distant future. For those of you that are going to the game, enjoy. I wish I could tell you there's a lot to do there. Blinn College is not too far if you want to go check out former Florida Gator legend Cam Newton's landing spot after the old laptop incident. Let's get into some over-under, guys. Texas A&M, like I said, averaging about 190 yards allowed through the air. DJ Lagway obviously had a good game, what, 275, I believe, in that game. Yeah, 298, pardon me, 298 in that game, 21 of 28. Do you guys think that DJ Lagway can eclipse 225 yards in this game? Jordan, we'll start with you for each one.
I'm going to go over.
Okay.
Over, or else this is going to be a long day, and this is the Super
Straight
Bowl.
Straight up, so, yeah.
This is the game he's wanted for 2 years. He didn't really get a fair chance last year in the Swamp. This is his Super Bowl. He's going to have a million family members and family friends. He's slinging the pill. Over,
over, like heavy over. Betting the mortgage. Yeah, is that a mortgage payment?
225. When you said, is that an actual line or is that just the Stadium and Gale Dan Thompson?
No, line? It's Dan Thompson's line. Do you want me to pull up the Hard Rock? We're not sponsored by any betting service. So I'm not, Hard Rock bet. If you want to drop a line of Stadium and Gale. All right, Harrison. I'm gonna look.
Yeah, now you're about to be dead. Go dig for the legit numbers, though.
Did you make it up? Yes, Harrison, I did. All of these things are made up, and now I'm getting called out on it. All right. All right, Harrison, here's a real one. Will the Gators – no. Actually, no, look, we don't even have real prop lines out. We'll have them tomorrow. So this is Dan being
okay,
awesome.
We're doing
Vegas' job for them. All right, so we got an over there. Jaden Ball gets his second game over 100 yards. KD Daniels is your backup. They ran the ball 27 times with Jaden Ball last week, which is, again, you know, the most that they've done all season. Do you think we get more than 85 yards on the ground? And, again, Texas A&M has the number – top 30 rush defense averaging or allowing just over 100 yards a game. Do you think that he can eclipse that? Harrison. Or Jordan, Jordan. Yeah, just Jaden Ball, 85 yards. Jordan.
Yes, I think he'll get over 85 just being with the inexperience due to the backups behind him. I think they'll lean heavy on him this game, and he'll be able to pop a few explosive runs for us to get to that 85-yard mark.
I'm going to take the under on Jaden under 85 just because I think KD can break a long one for – 30, 40 plus. I think he's just due. It might not be pretty, but I think he can break one. So I'll take under on Jaden.
Scott, you're right. Harrison won't be back. Harrison's questioning the program. You know, he's starting to question authority. You know what I mean?
All the big lines and stuff.
I'm going to go. I like your train of thought there, Harrison, but you called me out last time. So I'm going to go over and agree with Jordan there. I think he gets 86 yards. UF, obviously, we talked a little bit about it, has struggled to contain dual threat quarterbacks right now. Marcel Harris averaging around 30 yards a game. Do you think that the Gators allow Marcel Reed to have 30 or more yards on the ground?
I'm going to go over because that can happen easily. But hopefully we're able to contain him throughout the rest of the game. But 30 seems like a little bit too little to kind of go.
We saw that Gazelle Arch Manning run for 25
years. Right, even Arch Manning did
that a couple
times on us.
Especially as a white. Harrison.
No, I was literally about to say, if I think Arch probably had 30, so I'll definitely take Marcel Reed to have 30. I just hope the 30 yards aren't super impactful.
Yeah, I'm going to go over. I think that's probably a take it to the bank type of bet there. Gators have almost had three interceptions against Texas. They drop one at the end of the game, end with two. Do you think the Gators will get more, one or more interceptions in this game on defense? Will they pick them off? Jordan.
I'm going to go over. I've told you, baby, last week, and I said it, DBU is on the way back. We took a year or two off, but, you know, Wilson and Tease is over there now. DBU is on the way back, baby, so I'm going over with the interceptions.
I like that. I like that. Harrison.
Marcel Reed has played three FBS or three Power Four teams. He's thrown an interception in one each. He's threw a pick at Notre Dame, threw a pick against Auburn, and threw a pick against Mississippi State. It will be four in a row, and it will be Cormani.
Ooh, I like it. 2-5.
It's an opportunity for Cormani to get back game in this one.
I mean, look, Cormani so far has been – he's kind of been a boomer bust corner. I mean, the good's been really, really good, and, you know, he got beat a couple times in Texas. I don't think that's going to change this week, and I also don't think you can really – with our depth, you can take him off the field. So, I'm just going to say Cormani gets another one this week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think Cormani has been better than – I mean, he came in as a walk-on. I know he's a five-star. He was also probably 30 pounds under the weight that he should have been playing. Kind of gets thrust into this role with Dijon getting hurt in his first real true start where he's playing the whole game is against Texas, who has some guys. So over. I'm going to go over. I'm going to think the Gators get two interceptions, one real interception, one fluky interception by maybe, you know, Joseph Mbachi, something tipped at the line, something odd. I'm going to want something weird here. All right, Gators average like just a hair under one sack per game in the first four games. No, I'm sorry, I lied. They didn't average a hair under a sack. They got no sacks until Miami. Sorry, they had one sack technically against LIU, one sack technically, statistically against USF, but I don't think that they really were sacks like in the way that we looked at it, right? So none against LSU, one against Miami, and then come out against Texas A&M with six. You think the Gators get two or more sacks? Actually, I'm going to go three because we've got a dual threat quarterback here. Will the Gators get three or more sacks? A three wins it.
I'm riding over, man. I said it last week. I think we're emerging as a D-line and getting new guys in there who's hungry, and we're going to be able to get to that quarterback again. Hopefully, he's like Archman and likes to hold on to the ball long for a long time. Make my day.
Harrison.
This is the hardest one yet for me. I'm going to take the under just because I think they're a better running team, so I think we have to respect the run a little way more with them than compared to Texas, and I think Marcel's got better legs than Arch, so I think I'm just taking the under.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna go under. I gotta go under somewhere because I've got the next two, and if I keep going over, it won't match up with what my next two are. Can the Gators cover the 7.5-point spread, Jordan?
Yes, over.
You had the Gators winning outright last week, too. You picked up two big points against the boys last week.
I said it. I said it. One thing about Florida, this is the type of game we'll win, right? When everybody turned their back on us and doubted us.
Sunbelt Billy and the boys back.
Come on. Over there with their brooms in Vegas last week. Yeah. Sweeping up all the cash.
Harrison.
Gators,
7.5.
No.
No. Yeah, I'm going no. I don't think it's like a blowout, but I would not be surprised to see SB and the boys lose by 10. I think that's tough. And until they – I think it's going to be really tough for me to pick them on the road against a ranked team until they show that they can do it. And having four in 3.5 years is just tough. I don't know what it is about the mentality. I hope that changes, and I'd very proudly be wrong. As I've said numerous times, I am absolutely cheering for Florida. I'm going to be cheering from them from a concert tomorrow night. So the tweets will be much more limited, thankfully, to your Twitter timeline. So, but I'm hopeful for the boys. Outright win. Jordan, you got Texas A&M or Florida?
I will have to go A&M will win this one outright, but I think we keep it close.
Okay, and then Harrison, I know what you're picking, but just say it for the record.
A&M 34-20.
34-20.
It's close, but they break late.
Okay. Missed extra point or two field goals? Six scoring drives for Texas A&M, you think?
Two field goals, yeah.
Okay, six scoring drives. I don't think that the Gators' defense allows six scoring drives. I do think that Texas A&M wins. I'm going to go – let's see. I didn't say that they were going to cover. I said 10, but now I'm caught in a precarious situation mathematically. I really put myself in a hole here trying to do math. Not doing the math, but trying to figure it out. We'll go to 28-18. How do they get 18 points? Who the hell knows? But that's where they're going to get.
We landed on 29. So,
right.
Okay. Yeah, we go 29-19. Let's get a scoregami here. All right. Who do you guys think is the X factor for the Gators in this one? Who do you think that they really need, to count on to win this game? One player, offense or defense.
DJ Lagway.
Okay. I think it's a good one.
Yeah, Pastor Lagway is the easiest answer here. I'll take Dallas all day.
Wow, you really went out on a limb there.
We both did.
Yeah. I'm going to go Miles Graham. I think that the key to the Gators winning this game is limiting what Texas A&M can do in the explosive play side of the game. I think if the Gators can contain Marcel Reed, force him to throw, get a couple interceptions, I think that it's very easy to win this game. Not very easy. I think that it's very possible to win this game. And I think Florida has a chance to beat any team that's ahead of them if they can play the way that we know that they have the skill to be able to do so. So I'm going to go Miles Graham there. And I think that just about closes up the show today, guys. Let's just check one final check to see if any new prop bets have showed up on Hard Rock. Nope, they haven't, Harrison. So you're going to have to stick with what I have. Who do you guys have? Alabama versus Mississippi. Or Alabama versus Missouri, sorry.
Oh, I'm going to Alabama.
Okay.
I'll take Bama till the wheels fall off Bama. I like Bama tomorrow, and I like my second school OU in the Red River.
Yeah, I think it was the next one we were going to do. Texas, Oklahoma, Jordan, who do you got?
I like Texas in a bounce back. I feel like their back's against the wall right now, and their season's kind of on the line. So I feel like they might have a little urge to play a little harder tomorrow.
Mateer's not playing, right? We don't know. Oh, he is?
He's playing.
Okay.
He's listed as probable, but everyone – my – moles that OU have told me he's playing since Monday.
That's wild. I mean, Texas is a favorite by half a point, but still a favorite in this one.
It's flipped. It's weird. It started at Texas with 3, and then it got to OU at 2, and I guess it's down to a pick 'em.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
We got two names on Dan's the list trademark, Indiana and Oregon. Oregon by 7.5. Do you guys agree with me and think Oregon's going to beat the crap out of Indiana?
Yes.
In Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jimmy's and Joe's.
Yeah, man. I think that that's going to be a score you look at and be like, yeah, Oregon's legit, man.
I mean, Indiana's played two real teams since Signetti's got there, and it was
– I was just going to say that you're going to say this year. I was going to be like, man, it's probably been the last 3 years.
No. Like, they played Ohio State last year and got waxed, and that playoff game, although it was a one-score game, that was never even close, and now they got to go on the road to – Eugene, I think Oregon's off a bye as well, so they'll be locked in.
You guys, who was it? Daniel Neal, A&M's not that good. I mean, we'll see. Chance mentioned the under. Under over 47 and a under over. Over under is the way you say it. 47.5. You think over or under? I put myself in a pickle, so I have to pick under mathematically. So I did that. Jordan, what do you got?
Over, I guess.
I said 34-24
game. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm locked into the over, but I don't love any bit of that number whatsoever.
I mean, yeah, I do think that there's a chance. I mean, you know, I questioned you on if you think the Florida is going to allow 6 scoring drives. The more I think about it, like, I think the Gators can put up points. Yeah, I think Texas.
I mean, we scored how many drives last week? Four? Five? Four. Not including the safety? It was what, four?
We included four, yeah. No, it was five because you had two field goals, right?
Five.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it can be done. It didn't look like the prettiest five, but it can be done. I mean, it can be done the same way for them too. So
we went on a rant. We're going to end the show here. I went on a bit of a rant last week, which has been received overwhelmingly positive. So I appreciate everybody on YouTube for letting me know. But we didn't congratulate Taylor Spearto. And Taylor Spearto has caught a lot of strays for no reason, in my opinion. Like, it's not his fault that he was put out there. The guy's busting his ass, right? So shout out to Taylor Spearto. First block in a long time. First blocked punt that turned into a safety, I think, in well over 5 years. So shout out to him. Shout out to the walk-ons and those that have earned their scholarship. So Harrison, man, we really appreciate you. Jordan, I appreciate you for joining. Corey, continue to drive safely. Nick, enjoy your time in College Station. And everybody, we appreciate everybody for watching Game Day Eve. We will see you on Monday. And everybody go follow Harrison on Twitter. Where can they follow you?
On Twitter, it's at Harrison954_. That's just what it is.
Okay, Brad County Harrison. Anyone?
You went to St. Thomas, Jordan.
Jordan, wait, I'll show you this. Hang on.
I was about to say, you're bad with faces, bro. I'm sorry.
Nah, we went
to school together.
This is from my freshman year at St. Thomas.
Oh, wow.
That's a decade ago.
Let's get that.
I didn't even, so I was
that's
just like, oh.
Crazy.
I didn't even realize you were going to be on today. I was like, oh, let me show him after. So,
that's lit, man.
It's kind of funny how this works.
Raider boys, baby. I love it.
Small. Now, when you were doing your road game thing, I was like, you sound so much like Harriet. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's where I get it from. That's my guy, though, man.
Always.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody for watching. Again, this is another episode of Game Day Eve. Harrison, appreciate you. Jordan, we'll see you on Monday.
See you, man. Thank you.
As always, go Gators.